Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
It basically says that I've been excommunicated. It chooses to focus on a few of the doubts that I've expressed about church, some sort of Orthodox church teachings. And then it also talks about the fact that, the communication, this has been communicated, widely on the internet. And then it goes just on to talk about what someone needs to do to return to the church, basically.
That's an excerpt from an interview with John DeLynn on KUER in Salt Lake City. He is a Mormon podcaster, still regards himself as a Latter-day Saint, but he has been officially excommunicated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's describing the letter that he received from a Mormon officialdom. Joining us to talk about this story and to take it apart for us a little bit, Bill McKeever, a regular guest here on Issues, Etc., founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the books Mormonism 101 and Answering Mormons' Questions. Bill, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good to be with you, Todd. Good to be with you.
Does John DeLynn represent a small but significant percentage of Mormons who seriously question, if not perhaps secretly reject, the teachings of their church or many of the teachings of their church?
I think he probably does represent a growing number of Latter-day Saints who are struggling with some of the truth claims that the Mormon Church has had for many years. Of course, the internet has made it very difficult for the Mormon Church to hide a lot of this dubious history and troublesome doctrine. And as members find out about this, they naturally want to have some answers. I think what separates John DeLynn from the rest of them, however, would of course be the fact that he did have quite a vocal voice, still does have quite a vocal voice, where he's able to talk about some of the concerns that he has had about. In Mormonism, it's not considered bad to doubt things that are being taught or things that have happened in Mormonism's past. It's when you start vocalizing those issues that starts to get you in trouble. And I think John would probably have looked at himself as a kind of a person who is still somewhat loyal to the system overall, even though he struggled with having to personally believe some of those things that the system wants its members to believe. And we don't really find in Mormonism this niche for a person like John. And let me read you a quote from a Mormon leader, M. Russell Ballard, who actually serves as a Mormon apostle right now. He gave this statement in a conference message back in October of 1999. He said, however, in the Lord's church, there is no such thing as a loyal opposition. One is either for the kingdom of God and stands in defense of God's prophets and apostle, or one stands opposed. You can't really vocalize any disagreement with the leadership because that's looked upon as disagreeing with God himself, because these leaders are supposed to be the spokespersons for God. So John finds himself in a really precarious situation. He's allowed to have his doubts. He's even allowed to disagree. But once he starts to vocalize those disagreements, he starts walking on that very fine line that could get him in a lot of trouble.
So who is this guy? I mean, just being referred to as a Mormon podcaster, John DeLynn. Who is he?
I met him one time. I think it was at a Sunstone conference here in Salt Lake City. He's a very nice guy, but as far as I've always known about him, I've never known him to be one who really believed in the tenets of Mormonism. John started this concept of trying to encourage people to stay in the Mormon Church, even though they didn't believe a lot of what the Mormon Church teaches. And he would probably look at that as being a positive thing. Now, for us as Christians who place a lot of emphasis on truth claims, we would find that to be certainly inconsistent. Why would you want to belong to an organization that teaches things that you certainly don't adhere to? But as John has stated, Mormonism is part of his culture. This is his history. This is his life, his family. This is everything about a Mormon. This is what it is to John. And he's kind of like a D. Michael Quinn, who was a Mormon historian that was excommunicated back in 1993. Quinn looks at himself as a DNA Mormon, that even though he's not on the books as a member in good standing, in his own mind, he still feels that he should be a part of this big Mormon family. What I find really odd, Todd, about all this, you know, are all the people that I have read about who are coming to John's defense, saying that if they kick John out of the church, I'm leaving the church too. And that just strikes me as so strange, because in Mormonism, the church is everything. The church is the only entity they believe on earth, the Mormon Church, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is the only entity that offers true salvation. And I actually talked to a gentleman about that the other day, and it wasn't so much John DeLynn's personal issue, but I asked him if he was LDS, and I kind of figured he was. He said yes. And he said he was on his way out. And I asked him why. And he said it was because of his church's stand on Prop 8. And as we know, the church was supportive of Prop 8, the California initiative that was defending traditional marriage. And I wanted to pick his brain on that. Like, why would you want to give up what you believe to be your salvation over a political issue that your church happens to disagree with you personally on? I just find that fascinating myself. But yet we do find a lot of loyal people to John who are probably struggling with a lot of things like John, who look at him as, I don't know, they're Moses to come out of the Mormon church. I don't know. But what they're doing, though, is they just can't go down the street and find another place to fellowship. Once you leave the Mormon church, you give up any hope of exaltation. You give up any hope of being with your family for eternity or procreating throughout eternity and things like this. It's a huge step. But yet I find a lot of Mormons actually willing to do that, which makes me wonder, what kind of faith do these people really have? Do they really even believe in the church at all themselves? It's just puzzling for me.
Okay, so what we're dealing with here, at least as far as we can tell, with John DeLynn, is a guy who, and it may be, is he one who demonstrates, I don't want you to speak ill of him, but is he a guy who doesn't seem to understand what his church has taught, or who's raised not understanding what his church, completely understanding what his church taught, and then when figuring it out says, wait a minute, now that's not me, but I'm a Mormon. What else could I possibly be? I mean,
yeah,
I'm Mormon through and through. I was raised it. It's my community. It's my life. It's my family.
Yeah. It's like D. Michael Quinn says, it's in his DNA. And that's kind of the phrase a lot of these type of people use. I mean, I can understand, to a certain extent, John still wanting to be loyal to the church. And I'm sure in John's mind, he probably thinks he's actually helping the church because he's trying to convince people to stay even though they may not believe in a lot of its tenets. The church doesn't really look at it that way. If you vocalize any disagreement on what the church teaches, whatever it may be, they look at that as a sign of apostasy. So they don't look favorably on that, even though John in his own mind might be thinking, hey, I'm trying to help out here. I'm trying to prevent this mass exodus of unbelieving Latter-day Saints that could possibly happen. I'm trying to teach them how they can kind of live with their doubts but still be a member in the church. Now, again, I find that incredibly inconsistent. But in John's mind, he probably sees that as more of a positive thing. Now, the church is not going to look at it that way. They do not, as I said, they have no such thing in Mormonism as a loyal opposition. There's no niche for a person like that. And John has had this podcast for several years now. I'm not a regular listener to it, but I have heard some of them, and they're actually, I thought, quite interesting. And I think what really set the church off, maybe, when John interviewed Sandra Tanner, who is a local here, who Gerald and Sandra, of course, did Utah Lighthouse Ministry and have been very vocal critics of Mormonism. And I was listening to the interview that John had with Sandra, and I think John's biggest mistake in that interview is he made Sandra look human. And you know, when you consider that Sandra has been demonized by Latter-day Saints for, you know, back to the 60s, that was probably not a good move on the part of the church leadership. And Sandra has told me that since that interview, she has had just like a stream of struggling Mormons come in to talk to her about their doubts. And many of them are planning on leaving the church. And I'm glad they're coming to Sandra because she can at least point to them to Jesus, and hopefully they won't go off into agnosticism or atheism. And John, in his interview with Sandra, actually in the interview, after listening to Sandra's story, said that Sandra was his hero. Oops, that's not a good thing as far as the church is concerned.
Bill McKeever is our guest. We're talking about the excommunication of a Mormon podcaster, John DeLynn. When we come back, what exactly did John question? What particular teachings of the Latter-day Saints did John question that got him excommunicated in time? Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the books Mormonism 101 and Answering Mormons' Questions. We'll be right back. We have a special offer for Issues Etc. Reformation Club members. If you join or upgrade your membership in our monthly or annual giving program during January or February, we'll add the new Concordia Psalter to the list of current membership benefits. T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. You can find out the benefits of being an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Or contact Craig, 618-223-8385. Or Craig at issuesetc.org. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in January or February, and we'll send you the new Concordia Psalter along with your other premiums. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a Mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com.
I think since I purchased the microphone 10 years ago to begin Mormon Stories, I felt like this was a possibility, if not an inevitability. So I think I'm more surprised that it's taken this long, frankly.
That's John DeLynn, a Mormon podcaster, reacting to his excommunication from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry in Draper, Utah, is our guest. He's co-authored these books, Mormonism 101. It's a great book. It really is a must-have for anyone wanting to know about Mormonism from the outside in, and Answering Mormons' Questions. You can find out about both of these books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. So what in particular did John DeLynn end up in the course of time publicly and either doubting or outright rejecting of Latter-day Saints teaching? What in particular?
Well, there are a lot of social issues that John disagrees with his church, such as he is a staunch proponent of same-sex marriage, and I'm sure also he would be very sympathetic to a lot of the women in the LDS Church who would like to have the priesthood, which has been reserved historically only for male members in good standing. But according to his actual excommunication letter, and this is what I find also amazing, this is one of the rare times when the church itself has actually responded to a person who has been excommunicated because, in their opinion, they feel that John has, as it says, chosen to air his grievances in public, and the church has reserved the right to correct the public record. So if you go on to an official website known as Newsroom, which is run by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they have an article titled Church Responds to John DeLynn's Public Comments. I've never seen anything like this before, so obviously I think the church knows that this is a pretty sensitive issue, and perhaps that a lot of those people that are loyal to John are probably going to react in a way they think is negatively to the decision of the church regarding his membership. In the article, they have a very similar list of things that they found fault with John, and they include, and this is, I'm reading from the actual excommunication letter, that there was a link on this Newsroom article that you could actually find the letter, but it says specifically the council concluded that you were in apostasy on the following issues, and there were three bullet points. Your teachings disputing the nature of our Heavenly Father and the divinity of Jesus Christ. Your statements that the Book of Mormon and the Book of Abraham are fraudulent and works of fiction. And the third point was your statements and teachings that reject the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as being the true church with power and authority from God. Now that last point, let me tackle that first. I am finding a lot of Latter-day Saints that are kind of uncomfortable with a statement that the Mormon Church has always held to, and that is that God is only pleased with the Mormon Church and that it alone represents true Christianity and the only true church on earth. I have found some Mormons who are willing to admit that maybe there is a place, such as someone like myself or even you, Todd, that are in another tradition that are not a part of the Mormon Church. Now, would they go so far as to say that we're going to get all the benefits that the Mormons hope to get? No, they wouldn't go that far, but they're not comfortable with this idea that we are a part of some great apostasy. Again, that's a huge inconsistency for a Latter-day Saint because Mormon leaders in the past have said if there was not a great apostasy of the Christian religion, there would be no reason for the Mormon Church to even exist. But I do find some members that are expressing some bit of being uncomfortable with that statement. Now, the first point where it says your teachings disputing the nature of our Heavenly Father and the divinity of Jesus Christ. I have to be honest with you, as I said, I'm not a regular listener, so I don't know exactly what this means as far as where John is concerned. But from what I have always understood about John, he's always been, in my opinion, kind of a closet agnostic or even atheist on a lot of these issues. As far as I knew, and I could be wrong on this, I don't think he ever really believed in a bodily resurrection of Jesus or anything like that. Now, this one about the statements, your statements that the Book of Mormon and the Book of Abraham are fraudulent and works of fiction, I almost chuckle when I read that one because the Mormon Church is actually helping members come to that conclusion by these gospel topic essays that have been coming out recently that tend to show that a lot of what Mormons have believed, especially about the Book of Abraham, are not what Mormon leaders have said in the past. They're admitting now that the Book of Abraham is still a translation. But that word translation has this unique definition. What Joseph Smith did was he didn't really translate the Egyptian text into an English counterpart. In fact, now they're admitting that what we have in English, known as the Book of Abraham, isn't at all what was on the papyri that Joseph Smith was allegedly translating. So I think this point at least, the second point, the Mormon Church is kind of helping members go in that direction.
I guess this is kind of a tough question, but I am curious. I mean, just operating from the position of the official teachings of the Latter-day Saints Church, the proceedings that they carried out against John DeLynn and the conclusion they reached are perfectly consistent with Mormon teachings, right? This is not a man who's been mistreated in any way that we can tell.
Oh, I would agree with that. In fact, we at MRM have been we haven't been overly vocal about this, but when asked, and we knew that this was eventually going to happen, and I have to agree with John in that segment that you quoted him where he kind of wondered why it took so long. That was really a statement a lot of us were saying, well, what took him so long? But no, I think the church, as an entity, I think they have every right to discipline members who are not in line with what the church's mission actually is. So I don't fault the church on that. I do think John has some legitimate complaints that the church is not answering adequately, either for John or for a lot of struggling members. But I would defend the church in making a decision to release somebody as being a member in good standing over their unbelief in what the church stands for. In that area, I'm in agreement with the church. And I think John knows that. I think he kind of intimates that in that segment that you played. Yeah, he knows exactly where the church stands on this. And I'm sure John has probably seen other members be excommunicated for their unbelief, their vocal unbelief in the teachings of the church. So, no, I don't think John was surprised at all.
With only 30 seconds here, do you think that these kind of very public excommunications, there's another one late last year that you mentioned briefly before, do you think that they are having some kind of effect in Mormonism? If so, what? With only about 30 seconds here, Bill.
Well, it all depends on the Mormon. I think the TBM, the True Believing Mormon, they're probably smiling, saying, well, that's the way it should be, and maybe even good riddance. But I think for many others who struggle with a lot of these issues, they're probably looking at John DeLynn and others as maybe being their role model and thinking that maybe down the road that might be where they're going, even though they might not be quite as vocal as John has been with his concerns.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry, based in Draper, Utah, co-author of the books Mormonism 101 and Answering Mormons' Questions. Thanks, Bill.
Oh, thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we will be broadcasting live from the Southern Illinois District Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll talk with Pastor Heath Curtis about 3rd century martyr Saint Valentine, a proper remembrance of the real saint, as little as we know about him. And we'll also discuss 1 Peter 4, where the apostle refers to pastors as stewards of God's grace. Professor Jeffrey Pulse will be our guest. The Concordia Psalter is a devotional resource that is really very simple. It's just a book that contains the Old Testament Psalms and a little bit of other devotional materials, a schedule for reading those Psalms. The Psalms are pointed for either study or reading or even chanting in the home or other devotional settings, and it has a prayer that attends each one. It is a bare-bones devotional guide for the person who says, look, I need a place to begin with my devotions. What better place to begin than in the Old Testament Psalter? Find out more about the Concordia Psalter at our website or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Concordia Psalter. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The only thing that the devil has on you is your sin.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
But your sin, every last bit of it, is died for by Jesus, covered with his blood, forgiven at his word.
Morning chapel from Cramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.